freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
Get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Oh, there is a machine, and it rages against you. It is April the 23rd, 2015. I am S.M. Gibson, your host. This is Anti-Media Radio with my producer in studio, Mr. Shannon Madden. How you doing, Shannon?
Good evening. How are you doing, Mr. Gibson?
Doing good. Go ahead and start with this quote. I only have this warning to all Americans. What this country is willing to do to the least of us, it will one day do to all of us. That is a quote by the hip-hop artist Killer Mike. Megyn Kelly on Fox News had the audacity to get on her little television program this evening. And before she went into her little spiel about Killer Mike, she talked about how Chris Kyle was a hero. And they want to show Chris Kyle's movie, An American Sniper, at the University of Maryland. And there's people that are offended by it. Oh, there's people that are offended by that movie. And then she turns around and says, but Killer Mike, oh, he's advocating the death of cops, and showed a video called Close Your Eyes from Run the Jewels, which is the hip-hop group that Killer Mike is a part of. It's a song featuring Zach De La Roca, and that's a, you know, that's a whole other show unto itself, what's happened with Zach De La Roca and the American government.
Absolutely.
And she says, well, MIT's having this man speak. This is just horrible. How could we have this? Well, that's a quote by Killer Mike right there. Listen, dear Megan, sweetheart.
Hey, she did look good saying it. I have to give her that. If you go for that sort of thing, she was looking extra spicy tonight. And that's really about it. The latest of the, you know, Fox News eye candy. You know,
they look like they came out of some sort of factory in Germany in 1944.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like.
Lots of blonde, lots of white, lots of blue eyes.
Yeah.
Zigzag.
But you know what? If you had watched the video, Megan, you'd realize that it had nothing to do with killing people or hurting people. You'd realize that America is sick and they're tired of being put down by the establishment, which you represent, Megan. You represent the establishment. Let's go ahead and get into our top facts tonight, which I'm going to lead off with every show with. 368 Americans have been killed by police officers this year. 368 Americans dead.
And that's this year. Where, if you're keeping score at home, this is the month of April.
But wait, let's play devil's advocate. How many police officers have been killed? well, let's say, have died in the line of duty, because that's an important distinction here. 38 police officers have died in the line of duty. 38.
So
10 of them, 10 of those 38 died of a heart attack.
No. Those weren't 38 police officers that were attacked by citizens.
No, not at all.
So 10 of them died of heart attacks. That was 28 then, right?
Right, and 11 of the 38 died in a car accident.
But they were behind the wheel. They weren't, like, in a car with somebody else.
That's correct.
Wow.
So that takes you down to 17.
17. So that's what, compared against 368? Man, my math's a little bad tonight. That's like, what, 5%?
And when it's your child, you're going to care. When you see it on the news and you see Megyn Kelly rolling her fake eyelashes and talking about how Chris Kyle's such a hero and how dare we talk about Killer Mike. Killer Mike hasn't killed anybody. Chris Kyle was a professional killer. And that's the hero? What kind of lunacy are we living in?
Well, it was really, first off, it was who Chris Kyle was killing. Chris Kyle wasn't
shooting. I don't care who he was killing.
He wasn't shooting your average Fox News listener.
But they're making some hip-hop artist the villain and praising a professional killer and talking about how this guy rapped about how we should, you know, we should figure what's going on because there have been 368 Americans killed in this country by cops this year.
And this is only April.
It's April. And she has the gall to act like Chris Kyle's the hero and this guy that's a hip-hop artist that's going to go speak at MIT, he's the villain. You have all been had. You've all been hoodwinked. You've all been taken for a ride if you believe any of the nonsense that's on this corporate media. It's insane. We've also had 65 people beheaded in Saudi Arabia this year. 65 people have been beheaded. And yet, we fight ISIS because they behead people. Our allies are Saudi Arabia. Our allies, 65 people they've beheaded. The gun capital of the world, if you think, just real quick stat, if you think gun control is the way to go, a lot of people are a big fan of gun control. We have the major metropolitan area in the country that is the gun capital of the nation, at least. We've had 114 people killed in Chicago and 516 people shot, and they have gun control laws. 516 people shot. Mm. So, where do we go from here, Shannon? What do we do?
Well, let's see here. Let's see what our options are not. These days, voting doesn't seem to be an option. We can't really find someone who will actually go to bat for us, like they're supposed to. What else? We can't turn to weapons because theirs are getting taken out of our hands daily. And quite frankly, I mean, you know, why does violence need to always beget violence? Why does
it violence, shouldn't.
Getting violence in a situation supposed to quell violence? I've never understood
I'm the biggest advocate of peace. And I don't think that violence should bequeath more violence at all.
Well, and another thing, too, is an observation, you know, that we made earlier. With a lot of police shooting unarmed citizens, and some of those citizens were in the process, they'd committed a minor offense or had a little bit of illegal drugs on them or had an old prior warrant, or like in the case we talked about, what was it, Thursday, with the, it was last week, with the most recent, the fellow that had the, what am I trying to say? The child custody case or the child support case. A little bit about child support. He freaked out, takes off running. And so instead of the police officer running behind him and try to apprehend him, or, okay, well, I've got his car. I've already seen his driver's license. I already know who the guy is. We'll just go ahead and run back to his house and go pick him up as soon as he runs back to the house. You know, that's effective police work. Now, I'm too lazy for all that. I'm just going to go ahead and shoot him. I'll make up a story afterwards, and we'll go ahead and get this whole thing sorted out through paperwork later on.
Well, speaking
and,
of which,
and carry him off, and we won't have to deal with him.
Let's look at the story that that broke today on the antimedia.org. Dontrell Stevens is a young man that in 2013 was shot by a police officer, Adams Lynn, Deputy Adams Lynn, in Palm Beach, Florida. This young man, at the time, you heard the story, the cop thought he had a gun, the cop thought he was rushing him, the cop definitely gave him multiple warnings, get down, get down, get down. Mm-hmm. He didn't listen to those warnings, he didn't heed that advice, and he was shot. Well, today, the dash cam video was released of that shooting.
Wait a minute, you're talking about the dash cam video that the police actually had in their possession, and immediately as soon as this man was shot, they pulled that and went took it back down to the station, pulled that, looked at
it. They've had it the whole time. Right.
Looked at the footage. They went ahead and assessed what the officer was saying, what their official statement was, what they're seeing in the video. And then, of course, so he shot an unarmed man in the back, too.
Well, he didn't realize he was unarmed at the time. According to this is the official police report, okay?
He didn't realize. He had a gun out, was waving a gun, right?
Well, obviously.
Big balls on the side of his pants.
And this officer was reinstated and back on the streets 4 days after he shot this guy. 4 days after he shot him. And now here it is, April of...
Oh, and also he was exonerated by the county.
Oh, absolutely.
He was doing 4 months after the event.
He was completely exonerated. And yet here
we
are...
This happened back in 2013.
And here we are today. The video finally was released today of the incident. And guess what? The cop story was bogus.
No!
It was bogus.
He's a police officer. Police officer.
It shows a cop. The video shows a cop driving up to a guy on a bicycle that's holding a cell phone, that's very obviously a cell phone, up to his ear, gets off his bicycle, pulls out his gun, the guy starts to run. Boom, 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 4 shots in the back. Now, there may be people out there listening and go, well, he ran. Well, he didn't really get to run, first off. But that's just to insinuate he was running. Okay, so running away is a death sentence in America? Actually, the guy didn't die, though, so that's good. He's been paralyzed from his waist down because of the shot in his back.
Wow.
And the cop was on the streets 4 days later.
And, you know, here, well, let's start just really quickly with the subject of why he, I believe he was an African-American gentleman, was he not?
He was, but I don't care. You know how
Palm Beach is a pretty...
You know how I feel about that. I don't care about a person's skin color. I don't care. We're all humans.
Unfortunately,
We
don't, but a
young... A human shot another human.
Yes.
And that's wrong.
That's always wrong.
And that's how it needs to
unless
be viewed.
Unless you're defending yourself, that's wrong.
That's how it needs to be viewed. A human shot another human, and this human was not aggressive towards the other person, period. Ooh, neat, he had a badge and a uniform. He wasn't aggressive towards him.
The point that I'm making was he was an African-American.
He was.
On a bicycle. And last time I checked, Palm Beach and Palm Beach County is a pretty white area to live in. I know you have out there on the other side,
but
everybody's got a bad side of town.
A sin is a sin.
But I'm sorry, though, you know, with all of the over the past, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years that we've seen all of the viral stuff on the internet and hear all the news stories of this, that, and the other. You know, for an African American to see a police car pull up, and knowing all of the other situations with Eric Garner or Michael Brown, and I know this did happen in 2013, predating a lot of the things that I'm saying, but incidences like that have been happening against the African-American community for, I don't know, ever since they were first.
I think a lot of it has to do with they target people with a different skin color because they feel like that the person with that shade of skin is powerless because they don't have any representation. Here's the irony.
Just like a situation that happened here in Alabama with the Indian fellow.
Exactly. And here's the irony. None of us have any representation. None of us.
No.
Dear white folks, was George W. Bush really your representative? You know, at the time, it was all neat and great. We were going to bomb people. But now that you look at it on hindsight, did Iraq have squat to do with 9/11? No.
No.
No, not anything. Nothing. They just went and killed some people. Speaking of that, huge news today about the drone strikes that killed the Italian and the American. And the drone strikes were carried out by the United States. And Obama had to, I'll give him credit, I guess. He admitted it 3 months after it happened. It happened back in January. It's the first time the United States has ever admitted that, whoops, yep, we killed somebody. Sorry about that.
My bad.
Yeah. Really sorry. Saying I'm really sorry doesn't bring people back to life. And they keep saying accident, inadvertent. That doesn't bring people back to life. That doesn't restore families, you know, your words. You know how you don't make that happen? You don't start bombing people. And then they say, but they were held hostage. What created the scenario that they were even being held hostage? Your foreign policy to begin with, and people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody wants to acknowledge where things come from. They don't want to look at the genuine problem. We were talking about this earlier tonight. Everybody wants to put a Band-Aid on everything. Okay? And they see a problem, and instead of trying to fix the source of the problem, they want to put the Band-Aid on it. So there's a situation here in Birmingham. There's a high school, and they've had some drug problems. They want to get their own internal cops. Okay, they're not trying to address the fact that let's deal with these kids and, you know, deal with the situation at its source. Or you can talk about, you know, the Federal Reserve and America. Let's not deal with the source of the problem. Instead of giving somebody $15 an hour to go work at McDonald's, let's address the source of the problem. Why do you need $15 an hour? Nobody wants to ever address the source. We need more cops. We need a higher minimum wage. We need to just keep piling on the problem. And that's all anything in the United States has done over and over and over. They just pile on top of the problem. More government. More government. More government's going to fix the problem. What has that gotten anybody?
I think more government has kind of gotten us to the point where we're at right now, particularly on a, with what we're dealing with the police state that we now live in, with what we're dealing with in foreign policy. I mean, you know, the name the United States of America at one point in time in our history, you could be an American, you could go anywhere in the world, and you were treated like a rock star because America was so great, particularly of our involvement and us going all in with World War II.
Well,
but since World War II, though, name one war that we actually really should have been involved in.
Well, I can't. I can't at all.
I can't. I can't think of a single one. Vietnam was a joke. What did Korea really do for us?
There's a dividing line now. I mean, that's the biggest thing they can say about Korea is there's a dividing line.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was really no true solution to that. And we're talking in the 50s. Vietnam was a joke. Anything we've been involved in militarily has been an absolute farce.
Nicaragua. Grenada. I mean, you know, let's go on down.
Look at Iran. We overthrew the Shah of Iran, and nobody wants to talk about that every time Iran comes up on Fox News.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about why these people hate us. You know,
about the fact that Iraq, we actually funded Iraq going to war with Iran, and Iraq got their little tail absolutely knocked in the dirt.
Osama bin Laden.
And then suddenly we're not friends with Saddam Hussein anymore.
Osama bin Laden was a CIA agent on record. That is a fact. He was working through Afghanistan against all that crap in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this right. guy was recruited. That happened. That's not conspiracy time. That is real time.
That's history.
Yes. Yep. Osama bin Laden was a CIA agent working for the United States. Mm-hmm. And then ISIS. I tell you what, our great writer Justin King, and I think I talked about it the other night, he tried to disprove the fact that we did not create ISIS, because Justin is really, really big on disproving conspiracies. He's really big on debunking them. And I really credit him for that. And
it's keeping it real.
It is, you know.
That's keeping it real.
And, you know, I appreciate the fact that especially somebody in the alternative media is out there, and they're not just trying to jump on every conspiracy that comes along, just, you know, to scare people and make some extra money through ad revenue. But Justin is out there trying to say, no, no, this isn't as crazy as it sounds. I get it, but I can disprove this. Calm down. And Justin went out there to disprove that we basically created ISIS. Couldn't do it. Now, he couldn't definitively prove that we did, but all evidence that he came across did kind of insinuate that ISIS only exists for the pure fact of the United States of America.
That we were the one that put him in business.
Yeah.
Just like we were the one that put Osama bin Laden in business. Just like we were the ones that put Saddam Hussein in business.
That's terrifying.
And it goes on, and the list goes on and on and on. And we put these people up, we prop them up, and again, we reference George Orwell's 1984 very often on the show. And George Orwell spoke very plainly about that in 1984, about, you know, the one fellow that suddenly was a dissent against or was friends with the government is now a dissenter, and he's, you know, going to be strung from the highest gallows. And, you know, you were at war with this one country one year, then the next year we were actually at war with this other country all along, that we've been at peace with this country.
Emmanuel Goldstein's going to take you out.
Absolutely.
He's the demon. That's what bin Laden was. I mean, genuinely.
Yeah.
Bin Laden was Orwell's fictitious Emmanuel Goldstein. And for anybody that doesn't know who Emmanuel Goldstein is, I highly, highly suggest go read 1984 because we're living in it. You know, you hear these comparisons and you hear all this rhetoric. Go read that book. And you tell me you don't think we're living in that day and age.
What started off as a cautionary tale has now been pretty much the blueprint. The way that Big Brother operates has become the blueprint for the United States government now, and for all of the other quote unquote successful governments around the world.
Speaking of Big Brother, did you hear about Jeb Bush?
No. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, need I say more? He came out and basically was like, "Well, I'm a big fan of Obama and his policies, but he did one really great thing. And this one really great thing he did was the NSA surveillance. Like, thanks, Obama, for your NSA surveillance. I'm Jeb Bush, and I'm running for president. You did one good thing. You spied on all the Americans." Now, from a guy that is a fan of politics in the way many people are a fan of the WWE, which we've discussed many times. Mm-hmm. Jeb's not even lying to people. Like, he's not even trying to lie to people and say, that's a bad thing, we shouldn't get spied on. Then he gets elected and spies on everybody. He's out of the gate before he even officially announces, being like, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Spy on all Americans at all times. Mm-hmm. What is going on in this guy's head? If he even kind of gets the nomination after saying this stuff that he said, whatever happens to this country happens to it. They deserve it.
Actually, I'm willing to make a bet with you right now on it. I think he's going to be the GOP front runner. I really do.
I'm afraid I do too. Nick, though, Nick is a big advocate of saying that Rubio is going to get the ticket. He thinks.
Yeah, he's a hot name. He's been coming up a lot lately.
They were just running across TV earlier that he's leading in polls, which is there. He is right now. I say his name, and the devil appears on TV. Marco Rubio is an idiot. He is a sellout goon. He, if you look at any of his voting record, he is the establishment through and through. He might as well be Marco Bush. He came up through Florida when Jeb was the governor. He's an extension of that entire foreign policy, domestic policy. But you know what? His parents were from somewhere else, and he's got a darker shade of skin, so you can trust him. And that's what's wrong with this country. But he's got... But his skin looks a certain way, so he must have a certain way of feeling.
Yeah.
He must resonate with the downtrodden, because there's so many downtrodden in this country that have a certain shade of skin. That man has that same shade of skin as the downtrodden, so he must get something.
And
what a joke.
What party does he run? He's a Democrat, right?
No, well, they're all the same. No, it doesn't matter. Republicans and Democrats are all the same.
Well, and at the same time, though, you know, Republicans are having a pretty hard time. They had the Hispanic vote for a while there, and they seem to
because
have
of
lost
Bush
that.
And Texas.
And they seem to have lost that over the years. Now we have. Now we have also. You know, it's no secret that African Americans don't vote Republican as a rule of thumb.
They don't. That's not a secret.
I want to say it's in the teens, if I'm not mistaken, of total.
It's very low. Absolutely.
Population.
And you know, Stephen A. Smith. Did you hear that tirade he went on a couple weeks ago, urging African Americans to vote Republican because what's going to hurt to do it once in your life? Stephen A. Smith has been called...
Well, the same could be said about a lot of things.
Stephen A. Smith has been called, you know, every version of Uncle Tom in the book. And... whatever. I don't... You know, no matter what side you're looking at, Stephen A. Smith's not correct in saying the answer is to vote Republican. He's not. And then the people that are... looking at him and calling him these names, they're not right either, because the people they voted for, that hasn't worked out. So whether you're talking about, you know, Republican or Democrat, I heard it the other day. I posted the story about Hillary yesterday, which big shout out to Rob Schneider, by the way.
Yeah, Rob Schneider, represent.
But, story I ran about Hillary, and we've talked about it on the show a few times, about how she lied in the same way as Brian Williams. This girl comments on the story, and she was like, well, it's the lesser of two evils, you know? My response is, why? Why are people so conditioned and content with voting for evil? Well, it's the lesser of two evils. Like, evil's evil. And everybody acknowledges it in their speech. It's the lesser of two evils. You acknowledge you're voting for evil.
It's kind of like the same thing as you handing a gun to somebody and saying, okay, you can either not shoot yourself or you can shoot yourself in the foot or the arm. Which one's it going to be?
Right.
I'd rather not shoot myself. I'm just saying.
I would prefer that.
Yeah. It hurt a lot less.
But people have been conditioned to say, well, I only have two choices. It's the foot or the arm.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize they don't have to pull the trigger. And that's what voting is. That's what voting's become in this country.
Or they could grab the gun and shoot it up in the air one good time.
Because
vote
they...
Flock of flames.
Yeah, buddy.
He's got my vote.
Well, you're the only one. But I tell you, though, that's what America's become. You get the foot or the arm. Where are you going to shoot yourself? You decide where you're gonna feel that pain, and if you don't pull that trigger, you're a traitor to this country. You don't believe in this country,
and your foot's gonna wind up getting shot anyway.
Right, and if you don't believe in this country, you're a lesser of a person. And that's how they sell this psychologically. Like you're a lesser of a human being because you don't believe in this system we've created around you. You don't believe in this narrative and this story we built around this history. You're not buying into it. And people, they buy into this cult mentality, which is exactly what it is, this mass herd. I have to go along with this because it makes me feel included. I'm special. I'm an American. I can vote. So I'm going to pick the arm, or I'm going to pick the leg, and I'm going to shoot one of them.
And I'm going to limp a little bit, or I'm not going to be able to write really good, but doggone it, at least I've got somebody to tell me.
Right, but I was adult enough.
Help me and protect me from all the evil and the ISIS and all of the Al-Qaeda and so on and so forth.
And nobody realizes that they're their own person. You know what? Everybody, this is going to make some people mad. Everybody identifies with being an American, or they identify with being this, or they identify with being a Republican, Democrat, whatever it may be. Everybody has to have that sense of identity and that sense of I belong to something. And it makes them feel good inside. But reality is you are a being created by God, and you're an individual on this planet. You're no different than someone in Syria. You're no different than someone in South Africa. You're no different than someone in China. You are all created by the same higher being, and you're on this planet. So congratulations, you speak a certain language and you were born inside of a certain hemisphere on this planet. You're no better or you're no worse than anybody else. And to suggest that you are because of some rhetoric and a flag is foolish. You fooled yourself.
Absolutely.
And speaking of God, they use God to advance those ideas on both sides of the coin.
Absolutely.
Whether you're in Saudi Arabia and they advance this hardcore, extreme Islam towards people, they use that.
But extremist Islam is almost, it sounds, if you listen to all of the rhetoric, it sounds almost exactly like the extreme hardcore right wing that we deal with here in the United States. Except the laws are more skewed over there, where they actually do get to drag people out of the streets, and they do get to hang people or behead people, and they do get to do all of these horrible, horrible things.
But you have to remember, Saudi Arabia, you have to remember those. Saudi Arabia, to Americans, those are good guys. They don't have a problem with those people. 15 of 19 hijackers from 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, and Americans were screaming for Saddam Hussein's head, who had nothing to do with anything. Because the media perverts the information. And that's ultimately what we're here doing. We're not saying that we're the prophets of the world. We're not saying that we have all the answers. But you know what we are here doing? We're just saying this is actually what's happened in history. This is actually what's going on in the world. Please understand this is it. I'm not always right, Shane. You're not always right.
No, I'm not.
But from what we can understand, these are the facts. And it is very contrary to what's being reported in the media. Like going back to the Killer Mind thing. It's media just hyping things to scare people, fear. How dare you? How dare these things?
And if you're watching this broadcast, you need to be afraid of Killer Mike. You need to go in your children's bedroom and make sure the Killer Mike's albums are not there, because he advocates killing police. Look at this 3 seconds of this 3.5 minute long video, and look, he's in there fighting with a cop.
He's fighting a cop.
And if you've never seen the video before, if you're not familiar with Killer Mike, you need to go see the video. The video is absolutely wonderful. It's very rare that I ever say that about a music video these days. You know,
I agree.
I love it. I actually thought it was absolutely wonderful. And there is nobody gets killed in the video, I might add.
No.
The video is meant to be taken allegorically. At least that's the way I took it.
Well, it absolutely was. And, we wrote, a good friend of mine, goes by the pseudonym Jay No Name. I went to college with him. He introduced me to Killer Mike and Run the Jewels. And he wrote a story about the song Reagan that he did. And it was just, he's a brilliant writer. He's way better writer than I'll ever be. And we ran that, and Killer Mike responded to it. And he was like, wow, you know, thanks for the article. And he told me about Close Your Eyes, which is the video that we're commenting about tonight on Fox News. And I saw it, and I literally thought it was one of the best videos I've ever seen in my life.
It's powerful. It really is.
And Jay, he wrote that story up, and ELP, which is the other member of Run the Jewels, like, he shared it. He commented about the story from Anti-Media. They were both different stories, seemed very flattered that, you know, I don't say painted the picture. I say just kind of shined a mirror up to the art that they had made. And, you know, luckily, you know, I've got a friend that's really great at interpreting that mirror through words, that he was able to do that. So, you know, I've got a lot of respect for those guys. I think their message is really genuine. And, you know, I can go ahead and tell you right now, they're not perfect people. Nobody's perfect.
No.
Nobody. But for Fox News to get up there and try to politically assassinate somebody and then put Chris Kyle up before it, it makes me want to vomit.
Chris Kyle, who has bragged about killing American citizens from sitting atop the New Orleans Superdome.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Morrison was right. He was right when he was in Miami, Florida. And when he said, Adolf Hitler is alive and well in Miami, Florida. And I had sex with her last night. Now, that sounds pretty weird and odd. But at the same time, he was explaining to people, it's all fake. Everything's an illusion. You'll believe anything when you're told it.
That's right.
And we need to start living in reality. Because you get people that will tell you, I saw a plane in the side of the Pentagon. I saw it. I saw that plane in the side of the Pentagon. Did you? Because there's 2,000 architects and engineers that didn't. And they signed a petition to say they didn't. I didn't see it. I've looked. I originally entered that conversation in 2004, 2005 to disprove it. I think most people did. You hear that. There's no plane at the Pentagon. And you're like, that's insane. That's the craziest thing I've literally ever heard in my life. Not possible. Not even kind of possible. So you start researching it. To disprove it. Oh, we'll get these nut jobs. Well, the more you look, and the more you look, and the more you look.
No plane.
It's physically impossible. Like, physically, scientifically, didn't happen. 110%, that plane didn't hit that building. I don't know what happened to the people. I don't have the plane. I can't tell you. But I can tell you for a fact, that plane didn't hit that building. People don't want to accept that.
The building was destroyed, though, wasn't it?
The Pentagon had a hole in it.
Yeah.
It did, and there was a video that was released. Oh, geez, it's been quite a few years now. And there's looks like a guided missile that goes across the ground and hits the building. I mean, obviously, there's a huge explosion. There is a hole in the building. And, you know, that didn't transpire. But
I wonder if there's
with geometry, mm-hmm. Wasn't a plane. Sorry, it wasn't. And then Americans need to go, we were lied to about this. We were lied to about the biggest things that ran this country.
Yeah. So if they'll lie about some of that, kind of makes you wonder what else they're lying about, huh?
Well, and that's the thing. That's the problem with the government, because at this point, the government can literally come out and everything they say from this moment on could be the truth. Hypothetically, they could just tell the truth from this moment on. They have such a track record of lying. I'm never going to believe them again. And everybody has their certain lies they believe. You know, maybe it's 9/11, or maybe it's Oklahoma City, or maybe it's Kennedy. A lot of people, you know, are in that lie. And people really realize that Vietnam wasn't what it was supposed to be. And I think a lot of people believed in that war at the time and that generation. I know my father at the time was like, I really thought we should have been in Vietnam. I've heard Jesse Ventura say, at the time, I really thought we should be in Vietnam. In hindsight, I've heard Jesse Ventura say it. I've heard my father say it. We had no business being over there. I think Iraq was the same way. They used 9/11 to pull us into Iraq. Well, of course we need to be over there. We're going to get those terrorists. We're going to get those people that are trying to hurt us and kill us and this evil they're trying to spread across our nation, because we're free and they want to stop us from being free. And at some point, everybody realized this isn't really what's going on at all. This is really just more about some sadistic people trying to advance certain interests, whether they be oil, financial, whatever. They realized this had nothing to do with freedom, and they realized we've been lied to on these grandiose scale lies. Vietnam, Iraq. Okay, do you think everything about John F. Kennedy's story? The president died in broad daylight. Do you think that was all true? Vietnam, Martin Luther King, Iraq, 9/11. And yet you tell yourself when you hear some of these stories, no, that's completely true. That happened, that school shooting, they said it on TV. That's crazy if you don't think that's true. I'm not saying that it's not true, but where do people draw that line in saying, well, this government narrative is true, but they clearly made this huge lie up about this thing. Like, that's completely fake. And obviously something went on that we don't know about. And I don't understand where people draw these lines of saying the government lies here, but they don't lie here. One, a liar is a liar is a liar. So you look at the politicians. Look at Hillary Clinton. I don't even know why they're running this lady. Like, I don't even get it. Makes no sense to me why they're running this lady. Again, as somebody that looks at politics like the WWE, I kind of do get it. I think they're putting her up there as the heel. I think they're putting her up there as the person that's going to get beat in the match. We just don't know who's going to pin her yet.
Yeah. Well, and again, as far as star power goes, when we go back and looking at the division between the two parties, we definitely, there's not much more star power than you get than Hillary Clinton, who, I don't know how many people have died for her to get to where she's at.
Quite a bit. Half a dozen.
I mean, ever since, we're talking about taking all the way back to Arkansas, all the way back.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, look, if you go look at Johnson's history, there was at least 9 people that Johnson had killed. Not necessarily with his bare hands, and neither has Hillary Clinton killed people with their bare hands.
Neither did Charlie Manson. Believe that.
Yep. How many people did Hitler kill with his bare hands?
I don't think it was
6 million.
I'm pretty sure it was a very small number compared to how many he was ultimately responsible for.
Hitler was responsible for a lot of death.
Yes, he was.
And rightly so, he should have been responsible for those deaths. But how many people did he actually kill? And yet, these people in this country are just like, well, they didn't really push the button. And you got to give Obama a little bit of credit coming out today. That ties into what we were talking about earlier. He's like, well, he acknowledged an American got killed because of what we did.
Whoops.
Whoops, yeah. Sorry about that. And, again, Obama's a puppet like anybody else. But people, I don't understand why people live in this fantasy world. Shane, you're a wise man.
I don't know about all that now.
What are people looking for? Is it a comfort level?
Yeah, it definitely has to be, or a part of it at least is you know, comes from comfort. And, you know, we've also seen a certain amount of apathy now that we have all of these distractions. We have these, you know, pretty much essentially a computer in our pocket that we can play with all day long and download songs and games and get on Facebook and chit-chat about this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. There's so many more distractions now than I can ever possibly remember in modern history, as far as so many emails to read and phone calls and parties to go to and things here and things to keep you at home or at least in the community and keep you from traveling too far out. And, you know, there's all of this stuff to do, and just don't worry about all of that over there. That's a bunch of hooey, and conspiracy theorists only talk about that, and a bunch of crazy folks. You got to be crazy to even talk about all that stuff. You know, don't worry about politics. Go down there. You know, your mama voted Republican her whole life, or your daddy voted Democrat his whole life. You're going to toe the party line just like mom and dad did. We'll go to the same church and this, that, and the other, and keep that tradition just like things always used to be. Don't worry about all that hooey. That, you know, if the government has to kill a few people or if they have to drone strike somebody or this, that, and the other, well, that's the business of being an American. That's what America does for its business. You don't need to concern yourself with that business. Just show up at the voting polls when we tell you to, and then come back here and relax and listen to some iTunes and play some video games. You just don't
The new
worry.
Season of Kardashians is coming
don't
on.
Don't worry about all that. Kim's coming. You seen that big old booty?
Yeah. Woo! That's what they do.
Yeah. What Kanye West does.
Well, and that's kind of what we're living is everybody's at the trough, and they feed them just enough not to revolt and bolt out those gates. Nobody realizes.
And the more you cooperate, the more you get fed.
Right.
To a certain degree.
Right, absolutely. Well, you've convinced yourself of that at least.
And it's just like a drug dealer, though. You find out there ain't no such thing as a free dinner. There's always a price. Always a price. And the price, unfortunately, we're having to pay right now for not being on top of this and not paying attention to what the United States government has turned into now. Our Frankenstein is finally all grown up and is out there wreaking havoc. And you know, this is pretty much what we get now. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, you asked earlier, well, where do we go from here? That's a good question. Where do we go from here? Because we have this large, giant Frankenstein. Terrorizing the rest of the world and terrorizing us now. And what do we do about it?
Oh, well.
How do we throw the switch back off? Hey,
it's going to take, I can tell you, and I'm not saying this as somebody with any sort of intellect or somebody that actually, you know, has an answer. I can tell you from common sense what we can do to change this. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's going to take thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people putting pressure on these quote-unquote elected, again, quote-unquote representatives, because they're not representing anybody other than their self-interest and the people that put them in office. And that's very important. The people that put these people in office are the people they're representing. You may have checked a box, but you didn't really give a check. Monsanto gave a check. Or Halliburton gave a check, or Lockheed Martin gave a check, or Citibank gave a check, or, you know, Goldman Sachs gave a check. That's who they're representing. It ain't you. It ain't me. So it takes a collective of anger and frustration of people coming together and threatening that person's position. And if everybody can come together and say, hey, you, that guy, you're not going to have any power anymore. We're done with you. And it's done at such a level that they feel threatened. If there's enough people coming after them, they'll do what you want. Because they're that power hungry. They're that drunk on power. They will back down.
Well, but and again,
it takes a collective, though.
Going back to the Montesantos and the other evils, evil empires, Goldman Sachs and so on and so forth, of the world. See, that's the problem, though, is that we have very – and I believe in my heart of hearts, I still think there are good people that are good people that get into politics for the very, very most basic, simple reasons. I want to do good. I want to make this a better world to live in. I want to make my block better. I want to make my state
better. I think there are a few people like that today.
And then they get in and they see how much money is sitting in there in them super PACs just waiting for them.
I think
all
that's
they
true.
Have to do is just show up that one day and vote yay on this one vote, man. That's all you got to do. You can vote any other way. I just need you to vote yay on this one. Why don't you come down to the lake and check out my new boat this weekend, and we'll sit and we'll talk about it.
I think that's probably how it starts with most of them. I think, you know, there probably are a lot of these people with the most genuine intentions. Like, I'm going to do some good. And they get in there. And, you know, Ron Paul discusses it in The Revolution about how when he first got into Congress, for the first six months, he had lobbyists coming up to him right and left, and it was just this one lobbyist after another lobbyist. And then they realized that he wasn't going to buy into what they were selling him, and they just left him alone. And he said he said they offer you a lot. And at some point, they realized he wasn't for sale. And I think we have a couple of people like that today in Congress, a very, very, again, minor population. I'm not here endorsing anyone's candidacy, but Justin Amash. I think a lot of that guy. And I think a lot of Thomas Massie, Michigan and Kentucky for the both of them. I wish we had people, if we had people like that and a Ron Paul that kind of stick their middle finger up in the air at the money, at the lobbyists that come in, that try to persuade them and dissuade them to do different things, we would have the country people think we have. But we don't have that country because so many people can be bought off so easily. And then luckily, we have some assholes that get in office, and they're assholes on the good side is what it is, you know, for the people. And they're just like, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. And you have to have that certain kind of nerve just to say, that's not going to be happening on my watch, because you know they're beating down the door. You know they want to convert you, especially when you've proven yourself to be a quote-unquote liberty candidate. Well, you can really pull some votes now from this other side we're never going to be able to get to. But at some point, they realize it's not worth their time, it's not worth that money. But that's such a minority in the quote-unquote representation of this country. You're not represented. I do feel that there's, like I said, those two guys I mentioned and Ron Paul, who's retired now. I feel like they represent their constituency. That's it.
Yeah. Which is what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Which is what they're all supposed to do.
Right. And they're looked at, to me, I look at them like freaks of nature. It's like, oh my gosh, you're like X-Men. You're like superheroes. How dare you people stand up to the establishment like this? And they're literally doing what everybody should do.
And remain alive.
Let's right.
Yeah. I'm surprised somebody hadn't capped Ron Paul a long time ago with some of the things that he said over the years.
Well, he said it, but they politically did it to him.
Yeah, they did. The last election, definitely. We watched it all go down in slow motion.
And, you know, it's like cops, it's like politicians. There's people out there, and they believe, well, if you're a cop, you can't be a good person. If you're a politician, you can't be a good person. I don't believe that. I think anybody can be anything. I do think. Only based on what I see with politicians, they're pretty much all bad. They don't have to be. They don't have to be. I think those two guys are really doing the right thing.
Well, actually, it's funny to bring that up. When I was 18 years old, I got pulled over in Bessemer, which for those of you who are not in... Bo Jackson's from Bessemer. Bessemer's a rough hood. Bessemer frequently pops up, along with Birmingham sometimes. I think now Bessemer has surpassed Birmingham per capita as one of the more violent cities in the United States. Lots of murder and lots of drugs, lots of crazy things going on over there. I was driving through there to go to a neighboring town to visit a little girl that I was talking to on the phone. You know, this is back before everybody had cell phones. I'm a man of a certain age. And I am driving through this neighborhood, and I get pulled over by the police. And didn't have anything on me, was 100% completely sober, had no drugs. I didn't do drugs. You know. Get pulled over by the police, had my driver's license, had my tag was good, all the headlights and taillights and everything worked, had my seatbelt on, I was in full compliance, and was getting harassed because I was driving through a high drug neighborhood. And these particular police, even though I committed no crime whatsoever, none whatsoever, they never pulled me out of the car, which it happens a lot more frequently these days, but police are ready to get you out of that car, toss the place, let's go ahead and get this money going. Well, they didn't pull me out of the car, but they talked very harshly to me, and if you got anything, and so on and so forth, and they quizzed me and shined the light all in my face, and they really, and I had my window down. It's not like I had my window cracked and wasn't refusing to answer. I was a young kid. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that I'd done nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. Well, the cops finally let me go without, when they said some pretty nasty things before this happened. And I meet the guy again 10 years later. He had gotten off the force, and that's another fascinating story we'll go into some other day. And the guy turned out to be one of the nicest, most genuine people I've ever met in my whole life. So the point is that not everybody, even if you have a bad interaction with somebody, not everybody is inherently bad. Not everybody is inherently wrong. We don't need to make snap decisions about one another and stick with those snap decisions. Because, man, you miss so much, and you miss so many great experiences.
That's what I'm saying, and you're right. You're dead on. We have to stop viewing things as this person wears this kind of clothes, or this person has this hue of skin, or this person was born in this area of the world, or this person was born away over there, or this person speaks this way. Like, we're all part of the human race. Like, period. Like, period. Period. Mm-hmm. We're all part of the human race. The story of, I can't remember his name, and I wish I could pull it up real quick. We're about to go off sand and see if you can pull it up real quick. But the astronaut that said that he wanted to grab all the politicians of the world as he stood on the moon and drag them up there and choke them out, basically, and said, look at that. Look at that little ball. I'm on the moon. Look at that. Get over yourselves. And people... That's such a perfect example of putting things into perspective. It's like, okay, for anybody out there that's ever flown an airplane, and you fly over a city, and you look at it, and it's so small, and you see these little dots just kind of dwindling by, and you look at how small the world is, how insignificant your petty problems are. That's what the world has become. It's nothing but huge petty problems and distractions, and people buy into it. And it's up to us to swallow down some pride, acknowledge, you know what? I may have been told some things, and they may not have been true. But I tell you what, join us next week for Anti-Media Radio. LeBron's on tomorrow night. Peace out.
Later. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.